Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Tuesday, May 12th, 2015. Good afternoon, Al.
Hi, Melody.
Today we are pleased to have Rob West joining us on the program, and we're going to discuss more of the LIBOR rate fraud and why there is talk of a currency devaluation that is perhaps scheduled to take place this coming September. So we do have a lot to talk about, but before we connect to Rob, let us first take a look at the markets today. We have gold was up nice today, up 950 at 1194. We have silver up 23 cents today at 1660. Platinum is up 6 at $11.35, and palladium is up 4 at $788. The Dow Jones, well, that's before we get to the Dow Jones. The USDX today is 0.46 to the downside, 94.55. Crude oil made it back up over 60, up 1.33 at 60.58. And the paper markets today, the Dow was down 21 points. Earlier in trade, it was down, I think, 180, but we'll talk about that here in just a bit. The S&P was down 4 at 21.00, and the NASDAQ is down 13.50 at 49.80. And, well, my computer just isn't, maybe it's going to be crashing now, Al, who knows. But the Dow was down as much as about 180 points in the first hour of trading this morning, and traders are looking at the bonds. The world bonds have been selling off their government bonds since last month, and, of course, this seems to be a little bit of a trend that is rattling investors' nerves. And we had weakness in bond prices, pushes up the borrowing cost, and this is a drag on the economy. And this continued into early today, and it drove the yield on the 10-year note up to 2.35%. It did ease by this afternoon, and, of course, when it was up 2.35%, that's when we had the 180 drop in the Dow. But this 2.35% is the highest level since late November. And so we're looking at the yield did come down to 2.26%, and it did trade as it traded below 2% as recently as April 28th. And of course, it's not only our government bonds the yields that are rising, but also German market, German government bonds also rose. So, again, a little tweak in the markets there, and we'll have to see if this is a long-term trend or is this something temporary, but it certainly does mix up and change the market's numbers around quite a bit. Markets overseas in Europe, Britain, and they all fell about 1.6%. The DAX, Germany's DAX, they sank about 1.7%. France's CAC that dropped about 1.1%. You also had Asian and Japan's Nikkei. They closed pretty much flat. And the only one that really truly gained was, of course, China's. They advanced about 1.6% in overnight trade. I already mentioned about what we're seeing in the oil prices. And that's pretty much a wrap in the markets today. We talked a lot this week, Al, about the TPP, the Senate Democrats.
Yep.
They blocked efforts.
Filibustered.
To begin a full-blown debate on his initiatives. Now, we told everybody to call these people and complain about not putting it through. Well, you know, maybe we should break down and say, go Democrats. I'm sure the Democrats didn't do it for the benefit of the American people.
Well, but, maybe they did. Because
maybe
Democrats...
they did. Maybe they do want their jobs, but maybe they wanted something a little bit more than a plane ride in, you know, Obama's plane.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. They're going to have to, Obama, if you want to bribe them, you're going to have to throw at least a Domino's pizza and a six-pack of Coke.
Boy,
these Democrats, you can't bribe them for just nothing. You know, a little plane ride. They're you know, they've been around the block. They know.
Aren't we terrible? Maybe we can be optimistic, but highly unlikely. But anyway, they did defy the president. What's interesting is I believe it was all but one Senate Democrat. That's pretty interesting. All but one Democrat defied the president today.
Then, you know, there must be political pressure on all of them, the Senate and the House, to hold Obama in line, and they're doing this. Now, the Democrats, just because they can't easily support this Trans-Pacific Partnership without openly betraying the rank and, you know, just ordinary Americans that work in businesses, industries, whatever. They have to have an obligation to do what's right for the people, because in this case, the workers that typically vote Democrat, they're the people that are going to be hurt badly by the Trans-Pacific Partnership. I mean, it's certainly not going to do any harm to the corporate executives who work at or own multinational corporations. They're going to do just fine. So the Republicans want this. Republicans are going to work with the Obama to put this across. The Democrats are the one group that are likely to say, wait a second, this isn't good for our constituents.
So there are a lot of things going on. Egg, turkey, meat prices, they're beginning to rise because of the bird flu spreads. We're going to talk about, tomorrow we have Greg Hunter joining us. So it's hard to get in a lot of these reports in the next 2 days, yet consumer borrowing, that increased in March. We can talk about here. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. And some other numbers that came out. We're waiting for Rob West to join
us
today.
He's on the line.
Oh, he is on the line.
Well, that's what Frank, the producer, claims.
Are you there? Hello, Rob. Are you there?
Hi, Melody. Hello, Al. How are y'all?
Just fine. How are you doing, Rob?
Sorry about that, Rob. I didn't know. I guess Frank failed to let me know. He just he's partial to Al, you know.
No, you get the same message I do.
No, I didn't see.
See, what it comes down to, you actually have to look at the little messages.
Well,
see,
we'll debate that after the program, but welcome to the program.
No, we won't debate it. I know how it'll go. It won't be a debate.
Yes.
All right, let's get on. Let's get on with Rob West. And so really some extraordinary research that Rob has done into the effects of the LIBOR fraud and manipulation of interest rates over the past 22 years. And I have a copy of a document that was sent to the office of the governor, Governor Hassan of New Hampshire, and it's regarding LIBOR fraud and financial and emotional crimes. And you've really got some extraordinary allegations here, Rob. If you're on this thing, if what you've reported here is accurate, you've got something very powerful. And, I mean, this is surprising to me to see. You know, it's one of those things where I don't know if this is right or wrong, but it sounds right. It's so important that I'd want to research it myself to verify. But assuming that you got this nailed down, this is powerful, powerful information, because it raises issues of the credibility and the validity of any loan that's been negotiated in the last 22 years.
Well, you're right, Al, and I just invite people to join me in this research. It's just that, you know, the outcome is so enormous when you really understand the magnitude of what...
Oh, I get it, reading your letter. I mean, this is... we can go through... Let me just go through a little section of this right now. I'm skimming down here. Okay. What this could mean, if you're... You have a legal theory that indicates that any loan for 22 years, well, there was... Loans were being manipulated essentially by LIBOR established interest rates. And you're saying these, when this happens, loans become proven illegal financial instruments, meaning that the subject loan is void ab initio, which means it can't be collected. And you're saying this is true not only for mortgages, and that's where this started out, as near as I know, if I understand correctly, you can correct me in a moment, but started out with mortgages, but also student loans, vehicle loans, credit card loans. LIBOR fraud has been going on for 22 years, and you have a legal theory right now that says all of these loans might be void. Am I understanding correctly?
Essentially, you're right on with that. And listen, since we last talked last month, at that time, there were 6 Department of Justice criminal convictions on the LIBOR fraud internationally. Now there's 7. And it's ongoing. And it's really simple to explain in a certain way, but unless you have a reasonable financial background, it would be difficult really to think that, you know, everybody says, hey, he lives in Colorado, he's probably smoking something, you know. So,
no, but what you're saying here is because there have been 6 or 7 convictions by the government, by government prosecutors, regarding LIBOR interest rate manipulations and the imposition of, am I correct, billions of dollars of fines in some of these instances, am I overstating?
No. Now, keep
then
in mind,
the proof is this is a crime. LIBOR manipulation is a crime. This isn't just your opinion. You have evidence that this is a crime. So, and if it is a crime, then the legal consequences flow from that.
Exactly. So the criminal convictions definitely point DOJ, FBI have proven criminal wrong. It's been admitted in court documentation to the crimes. Not misdemeanors, but crimes. Now,
Felonies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so, people go to jail for over a year for felonies.
And some of them are doing that right now because of that in different countries. Now, let's take this a step at a time. On the big side, FBI, DOJ has the 7 criminal convictions. They assess fines and penalties, and now they're in the billions of dollars. It doesn't say anything about restitution for damages, okay? Now, you'll note, I think in the letter I pointed out 18 U.S.C., I think it's 270, that if you read through the criminal code, you'll see that once it's established that it is a crime, and then the different remedies down through 18 U.S.C. 3771, which is the Criminal Victims' Rights Act, and under that, maybe it's Section 470, I can't remember right now, but the point is...
it's 470.
FDIC, 470, yeah.
Yeah.
FDIC, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, who has most of the mortgages in the country, the National Credit Union Administration, and others, including the City of Baltimore, also used the Department of Justice FBI WINS to sue for restitution for their damages because they were passing through financial instruments based on the LIBOR fraud.
Yes.
And they have huge, substantial awards. The thing is, my point is, everyone that has gotten financial instruments from lending institutions, from savings institutions, they are also affected, but no one's telling them. And so if the folks that wholesaled you the financial instrument are getting restitution, I would think that would mean you're on the retail side and you also are subject to restitution and set aside of any financial instrument. And under 3771 and a few other sections of the criminal code, restitution, and the restitution includes going back to get back, if it's a loan, all the money you've paid in to acquire the loan, and perhaps damages in between because you may have been foreclosed on, or if you look at what the FBI's definition of
crime victim,
and I didn't make this up. This is a direct quote from their website. FBI defines crime victim means a person who has been directly or proximately harmed physically, emotionally, or financially as a result of the commission of a federal offense or an offense in the District of Columbia. So, DOJ proved the federal offense. You and I and many others have been financially harmed, perhaps emotionally harmed, because of their criminal convictions. It makes us a crime victim. Now, it just so happened that since we've talked as well, I was able to find through one of our associates, Salazar, in California, in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, there's a case called Glupe versus Deutsche Bank, and it was in the appeals court, which means appeals, the lower court decided against, the appeals court found in favor of Helen Glupe, and it clearly says, Glupe's cognizable injury occurred when she purchased the loan, not upon payment of LIBOR-affected interest. Now, when you go out to finance something of large, a large item or a service, you shop for an instrument to finance the purchase. And people just have not connected this. You've essentially shopped and obtained a lemon loan. And so the lemon rules in the criminal code says, here's your remedy. You see? So I don't care if you're late, behind, bought something you shouldn't, couldn't afford your reset, can't afford your student loans. None of that matters. Because of what these guys did in the last 22 years, they messed up the system. We didn't. We're just finding out about it.
And there's no reason for them to be rewarded for having committed or participated in a crime under LIBOR rate manipulation.
Exactly. So if those who have not listened in on our prior show, then I'd be happy to share my more current information as well.
Well, we'll do that. Why don't we take a break right now? We're due for some commercials. I'm Alfred Addis. We're here with Rob West and Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
have stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We are talking to Rob West, who is the senior financial strategist and co-founder of RME Advisors and Financial Preservation Network, two different limited liability corporations. And he has, on his own, perhaps in conjunction with some other people, discovered some legal implications that right now might be useful. I mean, it is, if the implications are correct, if the analysis is correct, it may be that almost any loan that's been taken out in the last 22 years, or at least while labor manipulation was taking place over most of that time, those loans might be void. It might be that you're entitled to recover whatever you paid into the loans. If this theory were correct, it means that however much you paid on your mortgage, let's say you had a mortgage for the past 10 years, and you're paying $1,500 a month on the mortgage, say $2,000 just to keep it simple, $24,000 a year, $250,000 you've paid in, $240,000 over the last 10 years, it appears that it might be possible to recover that $240,000. Am I understanding correctly, Rob? Is that a reasonable possibility, or am I just misunderstanding?
That's exactly what is reflected in the criminal code. So what I'm doing, and you're reading now, I'm preparing different letters for different governors and attorney generals, but to remind them of the fact that they have received criminal complaints. And under 18 U.S.C. 4, they need to investigate. And the only thing I want these people to do is to investigate. And they'll find what I found, and I'll offer my research to them, and they'll find more. It's just that, you know, the research, I believe, is, you can't refute it, but it's making people angry because, well, they're just not ready to accept the enormity of the conclusions.
I don't think they can. I mean, no. If this is correct, I mean, realistically, you've got an opportunity to collapse the whole financial system.
Well, I don't think it's going to need my help, actually, but...
Well, I get that, but nevertheless, that's true, but there are people who are hoping to stretch it out, you know, until next September, and you might be able to do it next week if under the right circumstances. I'm exaggerating. I know that you can't do it in the next week. I know it would take time. But nevertheless, this is an enormously important understanding and hypothesis for the moment. It turns out to be true. This is just devastating. You'd mentioned that the government has imposed fines in terms of billions of dollars on some of the six or seven lawsuits they filed, but there hasn't been any restitution. Government's fining these people and say, give money to us, the government, and forget all those peons. Let the peons out there in TV land, let them figure it out for themselves. They don't need anything. You're saying that it's possible for people to initiate their own lawsuit. Well, at least you're implying that. I haven't heard you say it. But you're implying that they could get this bouncing on their own and perhaps collect.
Well, yeah, just a point of clarification from the point of view, the Department of Justice and the FBI, when they have had those fines, the criminal fines from the convictions, I don't believe that the government is really in line to get any restitution. However, that's why Fred Fannie and FDIC did move on that to get restitution. But they're not telling anybody else because the individual consumer needs to know about this and to move through and get restitution. And I'm
Do you have access to whatever legal papers were filed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac? Because if they have recovered restitution, right, then... And they're just keeping it for themselves if it's possible to access their paperwork. And I assume you or other people you're associated with have done so or trying to do so, because they should just spell it out and say, here's how you go about getting these guys to give you some money back.
Right. Well, you know, of course, those would be on a wholesale basis as institutional complaints and so forth. And those court records, we're researching them now. My friend, the co-founder of the financial fraud company, Carlos Cato, has helped me develop this line of thinking, and he came up with it before I did. I just, Sherry Peterson and I are my partner. We do things in this line of work for the last 5 or 6 years, and I really didn't believe it either, so I started getting into what Carlos was sharing with me, and then the more I found out and the more I put into it, then I started writing a book because I wanted people to read it, because I was telling the same story 6 or 8 times a day. And so I'd rather people get caught up on the reading, and then we'll talk about how it might apply to them. the restitution is very interesting. FDIC, for instance, their main complaint was because they had to pay out for failed banks because of their activities were directly impacted by the LIBOR interest rate on large packages of money. And the city of Baltimore, they were using derivatives to offset their operations in bringing to market municipal bonds, and so that they could pay a shorter term or a smaller interest rate on variable rates, knowing that they have a derivative to back up in case the renewal rate would go against them. And so those derivatives, a lot of the derivatives is the whole problem. And when majority of the major loans you see, we've traced them back into the individual securitization pools. And there's been violations of many pooling and servicing agreements. But the whole thing we found out is if we find loans that hit securitization pools, because I can go into the SEC website with the loan number, and I can see exactly what tranche that loan is in and what the disposition of it, because you know how to access it. It's public information in a sense, some of the stuff I have to buy a service for. But what we do is explain and share with people, and usually the people are coming to give us, look to us for help, are the ones that's already in trouble. And so
you mean they're already in a, they're already facing foreclosure, rather they're not preempting, they're reacting to the government or the banks or somebody's coming after them, they're coming to you for to see if you can provide a defense.
Yeah, and you know, it's just human nature that, you know, once you're in a real spot, then you really look for help. But this is open for everybody. You know, I mean, you don't have to be in trouble to do some homework. And I really am encouraging people. I got a notice from Carlos Cato last month that the major lenders petitioned Congress to allow them to destroy closing records, which we need to do a good analysis. And by the end of June, there's going to be some companies in business to shred a lot of documents, because we continue to find evidence of a multitude of wrongdoings in addition to the LIBOR problem. So if anyone out there in the listening world has some information that you know, we're looking for, the documentation, the copies of the executed documents at the closing table, because the Congress gave the major lenders the okie-dokie to destroy those papers after June 30th. So they know what they're doing, and frankly...
Can you get around that? If these closing documents are permanently destroyed, can you still go after these people for restitution?
Well, there is a way, but it would be a little more complicated through freedom of information and so forth. But it would just be a lot simpler. You've made a financial transaction. Just get your paperwork in order right now and hustle to do it before the end of June, so that you have a
June, the end of June. You have 6 weeks, 7 weeks perhaps to get this done.
Wouldn't people normally have their closing documents?
Well, you know, a lot of them have closing documents that are copies of what they signed, but they don't have the executed copies of what they signed, which means both the borrower and the lender's signature was on the documents.
What happens if you file paperwork that takes advantage of this argument, and you file it now? Can they still destroy the closing documents if you initiate some sort of legal action before the end of June?
Well, that would be Mr. Cato's call with his company in the financial fraud investigation, because they like to review the case situation before they initiate the complaint. And this is real simple, okay? Keep in mind that individual people cannot file a criminal lawsuit. You know, it's just jurisdictions can. But we can file a complaint. And so under 18 U.S.C. 4, these complaints that are sent certified mail to the AGs and the governors and the sheriffs and whoever needs to be a party of your case, we're just bringing to their attention the probability of a crime, and they need to move it to investigation. Once it's through investigation, it's kind of like you walked into a sheriff's office and you got a stab wound with a knife sticking out your back. Was there a crime committed? Well, probably pretty much. Well, we better investigate this. Okay. Once the investigation is done, then there's two outcomes. Should we get the grand jury or there's no crime? Well, if you decide there is a crime, then the grand jury is convened and witnesses are called, and then that's how the crime starts in the court system. But you and I can't file a criminal
But what if, do you know if RICO would apply under these circumstances?
Well, we've talked about that, and I suspect that there's just a lot of evidence to bring that into the picture, and I think Mr. Cato and his think tank group are developing strategies to review that.
But you don't have much time to do it. My point is, I've looked into RICO in the past. It isn't something I'm certainly not an expert. I actually did prepare, drafted a complaint, a RICO complaint at one point, but I didn't serve it. Got tangled up with other things, and then just I filed it into federal court, and that's as far as it went. But the point is that RICO allows individuals to file civil suits based on crimes committed by the defendant. And it means I can function as a private attorney general under the RICO laws. And that's not a metaphor. The government said when they created the RICO laws, they wanted the people to be able to function as private attorneys general to go out there and file these suits to go after organized crime. And that's certainly what you've got here. And I'm trying to remember, there's 15, 20 different possible kinds of suits that can be filed under federal law, and there's more under state law, and I'm just thinking, I'll bet this thing fits on RICO.
Well, you know, that I stick to what I can do best, and that's a little above my pay grade. However, we have engaged a law professor here at Denver University to help me work through some research, and Michael is just excellent at this, to defend property rights for people. And but yeah, it's just so huge. When I found that 500 to 800 trillion in derivatives have been affected by this,
that's an extraordinary number.
It is. Yeah.
I mean, the 500 to 800 trillion dollars, and there are some people who think there's $2 quadrillion. Everybody agrees there's, well, I won't say everybody, but there's much agreement that there's at least $1 quadrillion worth of derivatives out there. Some people think there's $2 quadrillion, of which 800 trillion is only, I don't know, 25-30%, something like that. Not even 30%. Probably in the neighborhood of 25, something like that. So these numbers are conceivable, but they are almost unimaginable. On the one hand, say, well, that sounds crazy. On the other hand, it does seem to be happening.
Well, with my partner Sherry and some of our colleagues, I can get off onto a tangent of building a clock, I'm told. But you know, this is part of a major linchpin of a world global financial system. And the LIBOR has affected about every country in the development of their financial products. So,
you know, it's just amazing, Rob. It's law 101. You know, if you have fraud in a contract, that contract is void.
That's right.
I mean, it's that simple.
Yep.
And yet, and I have many clients who are realtors, and they tell me that they believe that the thing that we talked about bringing down the system, that the one thing that will bring down the system is the real estate market. Now, you know, you might not say it was tied exactly to the LIBOR, that what they're referencing, the banks and their ties, but it's all interconnected. And we wouldn't have the problems if they didn't lie about the LIBOR rates, and to where all these are all void, and where there's so much fraud and corruption. So any little tweak in any little segment of this massive amount of fraud and the you know, what was created through the real estate, which affects everyone, it's mind-boggling to the degree.
No, it's fantastic. I agree with you. It is mind-boggling, and that's not just a term. It really is.
It is
boggling, because what this implies is that virtually every loan that's been negotiated in the last 20 years or more can be rendered void.
And what's interesting is you have, you know, my term for Tim Geithner, little Timmy Geithner, comes out, and yeah, we were aware. They admit that they were aware, and you would think that they would be complicit in those fraud charges, and yet, of course, he was guilty for not paying his taxes either, and he didn't go to jail for that either, but that's another story. So it's amazing that this is just something that's been pushed, brushed under the rug.
So far. But if Congress is allowing people to invalidate, allowing them to destroy evidence after June 30th or whatever, it means somebody up there, they know what's going on, and they are trying to get away from this. They're trying to get out from under it as best they can. Let's take a break for some our last commercial break here. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, and our guest is Rob West, financial advisor. We will be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom and our guest, Rob West. What's next, Melody?
Well, I want to let the listeners know we have some Royal Canadian Mint's Call of the Wild series. We have the 1 ounce gold growling cougar. We had some requests to bring in this coin, and we did. And so it is a very nice coin from Canada. It's something a little different than the Canadian maple leaf. She is still on the one side of the coin, but on the other side you do have that cougar, and it's a very nice coin. We have some in, and from what I've been told, our prices are still the lowest. So give us a call. What are you laughing at, Al?
I don't know. You've got a coin with Queen Elizabeth on it, or whoever is over there. I don't know. And
I was trying to be nice.
Uh-huh. And they call.
We have many Canadians listening.
This is interesting. But we won't get into that right now.
We have many Canadians listening. But this is actually, it's the Majesty Queen Elizabeth II is on the obverse side of the coin, and. Give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. This is a 1 ounce gold coin. Beautiful. It is really beautiful coin. And it's for $1,260. Give us a call. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. Make sure you sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can listen to this program live by going to the radio page. And we also archive all of the programs. You know, Rob, I'm going to change the pace here a little bit, or the page, and we'd wanted to talk a little bit about currency devaluation. There's many predictions, opinions, that come September, we're going to see an unwinding of our currency, of the markets. And I think we're getting close. We usually come to the conclusion here, no one knows the time or the month that it's going to happen, but every day we get closer. And there's a lot of signs, though, that are indicating to September. Any thoughts?
Well, indeed, and I'm glad you brought that up, and it was a great reminder about your discount on gold and silver, because what we're doing in the LIBOR thing is an issue, but I think much more of a concern that will probably have a much quicker outcome. As you say, a lot of folks have heard things about China and their rapid growth, and those folks, a lot of people just say it's really scary, you know, and they you become scared of things when you really don't have knowledge of what's going on, and then you can't prepare for it. But I have been reading a lot, and I was on the International Monetary Fund website over the weekend, and I've come across some research, and it was confirmed by a few other analysts that the United States dollar is the dominant world reserve currency. It's not the only one. And a world reserve currency status, a lot of folks don't understand, but short answer is it's used to settle international trade matters for the most part. But there's four major countries' currency that is used, and the United States is the most dominant, and the euro is the second. But because, the yen's in there for a little bit, and so is the British pound. But what's been happening is China is just really, really moving up. And so the yuan is getting more and more notice, and it's quite possible it'll be added to the basket of currencies. And what I mean by basket, really the world reserve currency is based on what the IMF calls special drawing rights. And they're called SDRs. And the SDR is really the reserve currency made up of these four, actually there's seven, three other minor countries that are in there, including Australia. But what's going to happen, I believe, is China cannot be neglected any longer, and they're going to add the yuan in there. Now, the problem is, I believe, all governments and large companies that need to settle international trades and that, long story short, the huge market share that the U.S. dollar has in that basket will likely diminish maybe by 50% to make room for the yuan in that SDR basket. Should that happen, everything in Walmart will be doubled in price and every place else. So gold and silver, by the way, silver in particular was one situation occurred in the past, I think 33 years ago. Silver was a huge benefactor by climbing more than 800%. I believe gold climbed more than that in buying power. And so a lot of people out there, I don't care what investment you have, if it's in U.S. dollars, you know, stocks, real estate, money, you know, whatever. When this switch happens, it'll be a matter of them will exchange away from their dollars into the yuan. And when that happens, that's what's going to take the dollar probably in half, in my estimation. So if you're wishing and hoping for a decent retirement and you have some assets, it'd be a real good idea to get Melody a call to talk about this. Because that's, for, you know, what, 6,000 years, gold and silver has always been a recognized, you know, currency exchange mechanism. And if you have the bullion in hand, if you have the gold and silver, it doesn't matter if you exchange it back for dollars or yuan, or any basket of the SDRs. Because if the whole currency platform gets totally trashed, the IMF has been put in place to take away all the currencies and just use the SDRs. But that's unlikely to happen, really. But this huge shift, because there's been dollar printing out, I think I heard since 2008, there's been a 400% increase in U.S. dollar supply you know? And most international transactions, the dollar is involved with the settlement, and now it's going to be crowded out. And so in economics 101, you know, the supply and demand, nobody wants the dollars, then it's just going to ruin the buying power, except for a number of particular investments that could super beneficially be advanced, because if you're in the right sector, if you're in the wrong one, and it's really bad to say this, but 75% of the people are going day to day and they really don't have any assets in that. But if they have the right information and where to put whatever small amount of investment or savings they might have, I don't know, you could probably get 300, 400, 500, 600% growth in that purchasing power if you're in the right in the right spot relative to the SDRs. It doesn't matter. But, you know, and
you made a good connection on dots. I mean, from day one, as long as you have a fiat currency, the world is flush in fiat currencies, and everybody manipulates their currencies. It's only natural. The next step is you're somewhere along the line, you're going to have something to stabilize those currencies. And with China being as big as they are, I never thought that they would have the main reserve currency, but they would be involved slapping them into the basket of currencies. But the But the dot that's important is what the price of the products will do in Walmart. I mean, you're right. I mean, they'll double in a blink of an eye.
Exactly.
And that means everyone's standard of living is going to be cut in half.
And you know what's interesting today is where last night I went to the store. And normally at the store, if your purchase was like $30, you didn't have to actually sign it. They would just give you the receipt. And this purchase was more than, it was like 50-some dollars. And I said, well, don't I have to sign for it? Oh, they raised it to $65. So I said, oh, the prices are, they're anticipating the prices to increase. You know, so people don't have to, the people will be buying the same thing, but instead of costing, you know, $45 and $50, it's going to cost them $65. I thought that was interesting.
Indeed. And incidentally, you have talked about September. When I was looking at the IMF calendar, beginning in May is the analysis of this basket. And in my opinion, what it means is all the currencies relative to the country's productivity, and which the Chinese have just ballooned super in the last 5 years. I wouldn't think at all that they would not be invited to be in that basket of currencies. And I'm not sure if they'd be the dominant one or not, but everybody can see where the momentum's going relative to our economy and theirs. And, you know, you could see $5,000 gold in a heartbeat. And this stuff would not take but hours to get put into place. It's all electronic switching for the banks and the major settlement houses. So,
and you know what, China has the leverage to do it too. I mean, you look at all the banks that they're trying to create, the, you know, their international banks, their BRICS banks, and their relationship with Russia. And the funniest thing I saw today was Kerry going over to Russia to talk to Putin about Syria. You know, forget about what's going on. You know, forget about the sanctions that we have on you. Let's talk about Syria. I mean, the world is bizarre, and certainly China does have a lot of clout.
Well, do you think China really wants to get into that same basket?
Absolutely.
You know, it's been a strange situation. The dollar has, it's because it's caught in the U.S. dollar index, it's caught in that basket, and it's weighed against the other six currencies. When they inflate those currencies, the dollar necessarily goes into deflation, which it may not want to do. And my question is, what I'm wondering about, will the same problem turn up for China, where they can be pushed into deflation, whether now if they had a basket of seven currencies, if the other seven currencies, or the other, I guess the other seven currencies, including the United States dollar, if they all went into inflation at the same time, we've got a teeter-totter here. We've got China on one end, the other six, seven on the other end. If they all go into inflation, China goes into deflation. I don't know if I'm making myself clear, but is it absolutely certain that China wants in? You know, it's one of those things, beware what you wish for or pray for. Maybe they're better off sticking with the BRICS.
Well, I would suggest that the Chinese planning as long in advance as they do, all of the gold and silver they've been buying up, that I think their yuan will be very strong, and they would love to be part of the settlement of international trades.
Yeah.
So I just think that's a huge indicator. And right now, I believe it's a much larger find than in what to do immediately about investigating affairs, even more so than looking at the LIBOR situation.
Tell us again when you think this might, when you think it might happen, that China will be brought into this basket of currencies and the U.S. dollar might be devalued by 50% almost overnight.
According to their website, they have already initiated in May this analysis, and they call for their timeline to be October the 11th. So I've also heard there's some magic around October the 20th. But, hey, kids, you know, we got 4 months here, and, you know, don't sit on the fence. If you have some assets, you want to make sure that's going to be productive in the next 5 years for you. And this is not rocket science for those who follow what's going on in these economies and the currencies. You know, it's to me, it's a no-brainer.
It's a fundamental.
There's a lot of people on that fence with the Dow at 18,000. And they're getting dividends. They're there on the fence waiting.
Yeah, well, it's going to be barbed wire by the time they wait too long.
You're absolutely correct.
Yeah. But
Rob, why don't you give us a little contact information, Rob, unless you want to. We've still got about 90 seconds till we have to close down. Is there a closing remark you'd like to bring to people's attention?
Well, the biggest thing is to throw away the idea of procrastinating. You know, I mean, we don't have an option here anymore. And when you start counting down the currency valuation situation, I just think that is just, you know, I'm about 99%, no question that's going to happen. The LIBOR stuff, if people get their affairs together and give a little bit more connection to get an understanding about what's going on, that's great. But I think the more important thing is if you have liquid assets or retirement-oriented assets, particularly if you're over 55 years old, you really need to look at gold and silver because you just do. And but my contact information is Rob, R-O-B, at rmeadvisors.com. The RME is for Rocky Mountain Educational Advisors. So Rob at rmeadvisors.com. Could text or be reached at 303-472-0531. That comes direct to me on my cell phone. But for email, and we get back as quickly as we can. And I don't want to overemphasize, I love people. You got a really smart audience, Melody, that listens to you now. And, you know, guys, you got to look into this stuff. And I just, you can look into every research that I do, and you can email me, and I'll show you the links that I go to. And but you don't have a lot of time. You just don't.
Well, we don't have any.
Buy their gold from, Rob?
I'm sorry?
Who should they buy their gold from?
Well, if you to trust anybody, call Melody. All right? I've known her for years, and I got to know her through Bob Chapman. And particularly if there's a super rush on things, I've found so many things out of line in pricing with other dealers over the years and that. But no question, give Melody a call at Discount Gold and Silver, and she'll talk with you and help you develop a decent strategy for your income level and your net worth and your preservation level. But and she's always there to exchange back as well. So
absolutely, thank you, Rob.
Okay,
hope to have you on again soon.
We're out of time. We've got to thank all of you for listening. Melody and I will be back tomorrow. In the meantime, the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Frank, the producer, and Rob West. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.
That's too bad.